bountifully with me. It is favorable to our soul's comfort when we are able to review all the way that God has led us. If we are able to do this, surely we must come to one conclusion, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. We may observe that in the earlier part of this psalm, conditions seem to be adverse. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long should I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? And yet, despite such a confession of the difficulty of his pathway, apparently at that time, he comes to the end of this short psalm to say, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. How is it that he was able to say this and to give voice to his inward determination that he would sing unto the Lord? It is because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, as the Lord may help me, we will look first of all at the latter clause before coming to the former, because the latter clause will give the reason why the former desire is expressed. Because he hath dealt bountifully with me. The chapters that we read in the Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians spoke quite a little about God's abounding, and not least about the grace which had abounded. Where sin abounded, we read in the Romans, there grace did much more abound. And wherever God makes this and that to abound, surely we must say, as we reflect upon it, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. When we consider the power of sin reigning, or at least experienced in our hearts, and the necessity of that sin being put down, then we shall have a reason, if grace abounds, to say, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. If we do not feel our sin, if we feel that we are good, then of course we shall never know anything of God's abounding grace. We shall not be in a position to know anything about it. We shall not be in a position to understand it. We shall be saying, well, what do I want the grace of God to abound unto me for? I've no need of that grace of God. I'm not a great sinner. But should we be a great sinner, made to feel so by the power of the Spirit of God in his penetrating conviction, then to see the grace of God manifested on such an occasion to the very worst of sinners will bring us to join with the psalmist and say, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Though it may seem strange to say so, yet the more the Lord makes us feel how sinful we are, the more will we be able to observe God's bountiful dealing with us. We find the apostle expressing himself in the Romans 7 of the excellency of the law of God. But then he goes on to say, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Not many people would say to Paul that you are carnal. It's not what people say to us, but what we may confess to other people. And those that feel this most are those that see the glory of God and the wonders of God more clearly. And so we find it was when Paul said, "For we know that the law is spiritual," that he also said, "But I am carnal, sold under sin." Now there are 2 points to this in connection with the words of our text, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. It is a mercy to know our carnality, even though it may be painful to us, because it will surely cause us to rejoice in that abundant grace which is able to save to the uttermost. At the same time, there will be the abundant grace which shows us the excellencies of Christ Jesus. Could we his person learn to prize, we more should prize his grace. But we have to take it according to how we ourselves have experienced it. But oh, that we might have that in our hearts this morning, to be able to join and say, "I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He hath taken me apart out of an ungodly generation and shown me that I need to be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation." How bountiful that is, that God of his great mercy should have done so. And then, if he should have spoken to us those precious words of the Scripture, "Ye are not under the law, but under grace. Therefore sin shall not have dominion over you," shall we not find again a reason to express, "The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me"? It is an important matter for the children of God to feel the certainty of this, that they are not under the law, though the law has been their schoolmaster to bring them to Christ, but that they are under grace, under the power of grace, under the sweet influences of grace. And what does grace do? Well, grace softens the hardest heart. And if God does that, then we shall want to sing. And we shall want to sing to the praise of him that died. And we shall want to sing to the praise of him that suffered in our stead, whereby, having risen up on high, he has received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, and the gift of faith, and the gift of repentance, about which we have just been singing. So then, because he hath dealt bountifully with me, there is nothing small in regard to God's work. It may be small by comparison, but it is not small, because everything that God does is great. The most insignificant work of God that may not be seen by any other will be great in your soul. Let us take just one point: to create a good desire, to feel a turning toward the Lord. But a small work of God, so to speak, in the eyes of many. But how great has the Lord dealt with us, and with what abundance! We are living epistles known and read of all men. And yet, silence can be eloquent, though it is good for us to testify of what God has done for the soul, but sometimes a meek and quiet spirit will evince that God has dealt bountifully with us. God's work shines. God's work cannot be hidden. And the time does come when God's work has to be spoken about. Now the psalmist says, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. There is that in our natural makeup which despises the day of small things. It may be said in the present day, speaking very generally, that it is a day of small things. The power of attending the ministry of the word may be said to be a day of small things. In respect to the experience of the people of God, it may be said to be a day of small things, but the Word of God speaks to us and says, despise not the day of small things. Let us remember that the day of small things causes the glory of God to shine forth as much as the day of great things. We read at the time of the apostles that great grace was upon them all. What are we going to do if in these days we may have to speak somewhat differently and say it isn't so now, but there is small grace? If it is grace at all, then have we not reason to feel thankful for that? Now, what has grace done, whereby we may say, because he hath dealt bountifully with me? If grace has taken us in hand at all, then we have reason to say that God has dealt bountifully. The very first desire that has been put into our souls is an evidence of God's bountiful dealing. And if he has continued that work, we have further evidence of God's bountiful dealing. And if we should from time to time see clearly that this is the work of God, that our eyes should be open, our faith should be exercised to see this is God's work, working in me a feeble desire and a wish so weak, which Jesus inspires and bids me still seek. You know, we do not have to come into wonderful, remarkable, unusual blessings from God to say, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And yet, we need to be warned that we do not despise the day of small things. How easily we may be favored in a small way, and then be tempted to say, oh, it is nothing. It is nothing. It is not worth speaking about. But if God touches our heart for a moment, if God causes us to feel the spirit of repentance for a moment or two, then God has dealt bountifully, because he has dealt with you differently from what he has dealt with those that are in the world, those that are ungodly, those that know not God at all. And anything that is above that is an evidence of God dealing bountifully. Now, says the psalmist, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. The word dealt mentioned here brings our attention to the Lord's dealings. Now we are blessed indeed to feel and to know that the Lord is dealing with us. How shall we know that God is dealing with us? How shall we know that God is handling us? Do you believe that he is? Whenever you do, then you can say, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. If we think of Ephraim as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, then have we felt God handling us? Who can handle a bullock that is unaccustomed to the yoke, filled with a frenzy? But does God handle us in a way that only God can handle us? Then, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. And then again, at those times when we are fearful and afraid, and we should surely be deceiving ourselves if we were to say, there were never times when we were fearful and afraid. But the Lord deals bountifully with us, as and when he may say, fear not. Fear not. Those people that would dispense with doubts and fears and would preach that they never occur would find it difficult to answer the reason why God, give an answer and a reason why God has on so many occasions included in his word, fear not. Now, there is a distinction which we need to make between the fears and doubts which are the outcome of circumstances, and yet they do not proceed from what we might say the old nature. The point I wish to make is this, that fear comes upon us sometimes suddenly. Satan comes in and we feel that he's there and we're afraid and we seek unto our refuge and our strength, and suggestions sometimes are brought to our mind from the same source which raises a doubt in our mind. Now, this is what the point I'm making is this, that these things are not ours. They're brought upon us by this tremendous enemy, which makes us, as it were, tremble. But there is such a word where the Lord, in reply to our fleeing unto him, will say, fear not. Fear not. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Fear not. I will help thee. I will deliver thee. I will comfort thee. I will say to your enemy, thus far shalt thou come, and no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Now, as various circumstances come into our lives, you know, in those circumstances, Satan will make the most of them. And we should not expect to go through any aspect of our lives without Satan being ever at hand to put in subtle suggestions with the main purpose of undermining our faith. And so we may come to the time of affliction and of pain and of sickness. Are we so hard-hearted that we're never affected by these things, that some fears do not come into our mind because of the suggestions which come from the enemy of our souls? And then again, even in the day of prosperity, let us be aware of this, that we should beware of Satan coming in, because he will appear under all circumstances. Satan does not appear only in the day of adversity. He will appear also in the day of prosperity. And certainly, Satan will not be able to bear the sight of one of God's children prospering. And therefore he will stir up as far as he can from one quarter and another. And this will bring into the soul of the child of God an anxiety, because he can only see everything coming into confusion. But the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me, because the Lord that reigns on high and thunders when he pleases has all things, all persons, both men and devils, under his control. And therefore, when we see this, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, what have we found in regard to our pathway? Very different our pathways may be, one from the other. But they are none of them such, surely, wherein we could not say, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. But we come to look for a moment or two, wherein the psalmist says that he hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, if we feel the spirit of humbling sometimes, and the pride of our heart dealt with, what an evidence that God has dealt bountifully with us. For who can put down the pride of our heart? Who can deal with the stubbornness of our spirit? Who can deal with the foolishness of our mind? And so on. The psalmist says, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. And in spite of what he was then passing through, according to the context, the suggestion that God had forgotten him, the suggestion that his face was hidden from him, and how long would that be? Yet he's bound to say, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You will see that in the day of his adversity, yet God dealt bountifully with him by maintaining his faith and giving him right prayers. Listen to the words that he prays after having said, how long wilt thou forget me? He says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. There is much instruction in the Word of God to teach us how to pray under varying circumstances. Shall we find the instruction here that will enable us to feel that the Lord hath dealt bountifully with us? Is it a long time? Do we feel that God has forgotten us? Has his face been hidden from us? Do we think upon it and those thoughts be absorbing, so that we can think of nothing else. And when we pray in a miserable way, not asking God for anything, but only doting upon our sad condition and being filled with self-pity. Well now, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me, if in turning to the Psalms, in finding a description of how we feel, we are then led to see what the psalmist under the Spirit of God did. He did not bemoan himself, but he said, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." And he was well aware that his enemy was close by to take advantage of his low condition. And he gives this good reason to God, as we may well be able to give a good reason to God. "Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him." And when the Lord is absent feelingly from us, the enemy will suggest that he has prevailed. The enemy will suggest that you will never feel the blessing of God again. And we forget that he is a liar and is the father of lies. But how good it is for us to acknowledge God's bountiful dealing, "But I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Bountifully with me in respect to all the circumstances that have come into our lives. A word that has been much before me in recent months is found in the book of Job, where we read, "He causeth it to come." He causeth it to come. And whatever may come now, today, may we acknowledge that he causeth it to come. And if this is true, must we not say that the Lord has dealt bountifully with us? What God does, when he causes anything to come, it is not just to satisfy a whim and a fancy. But Job goes on to say this, "He causeth it to come for correction, and for his land, and for mercy." Now, if we can see in whatever has come into our lives, whatever conflicts we have had in our spirits, that God causeth it to come. And if we refer back to the book of Job, well, we find that Satan had permission to afflict Job, to upset Job, to put Job through his sieve. But let us not overlook this. He causeth it to come. And there was a rein put upon Satan. He could not do what he would. Neither could he go any farther than the Lord allowed him to go. But there was a purpose in it. Satan might well have concluded that the point of his being given this permission was remarkable, sufficient for Satan to bring Job down into the dust and to make it very clear that there was no religion in Job at all. But God's purpose was different. And God's purpose will be different in your life and mine. So then he causeth it to come for correction. How much and in how many things we need to be corrected. His chastening is therefore prize, the privilege of a saint. Now, chastenings are not to be regarded, as some may regard them, as a thrashing. Some of God's chastenings with the people of God have been couched in gentle terms and in gentle actions. Thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now the chastenings of God are so different from anything else. The distinction is made by the apostle himself when, after speaking, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth," he goes on to say this: "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." Now here is the distinction: "But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Now you see, this is what we may understand by correction. Correction in our thinking. Correction in our walking. Correction in our general bent. And sometimes that requires just a small tap. Sometimes, of course, it requires a severer treatment. Now, Paul, who was well acquainted with the pathway that he here describes, says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." If any part of our body is out of true, we shall not put it back into place without there being some pain. If there is a dislocation, if there is a break, if there is a splintering, then that needs attention. But it will not be put back into place without some pain. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Because he hath dealt bountifully with me in correction. Whether that correction is small or whether it is greater. If we do not need to be corrected in the letter of things, we may sometimes need to be corrected in the spirit of things. And so the psalmist says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And perhaps some of us will know something about that. We've needed God to correct us in our spirit. In regard to our feelings toward the brethren, in their afflictions and in their sorrows and in their temptations. And so maybe God has brought affliction upon us, has brought adversity and trial upon us, and it has been for correction, and God has caused it to come. Now, when we see that God has caused it to come, and it's been for our profit, then we can say the Lord has hath dealt bountifully with me. Prophet is instruction which has a good end. The purpose of God is that we might be profited continually. Let us not think that the ways of God are for any other reason. I believe it will be true to say that all the ways of God are intended for our profit. Sometimes our profit, that we may know how great our weaknesses are. Our profit, in that we may know how far short we have come from what we thought we were. But our profit sometimes in discovering the tenderness of the heart of Jesus Christ. Our profit in being favored to realize something of the glory of Christ and of his person, and of having fellowship with his sufferings, and how profitable it will be, and which this will surely bring us to say, he hath dealt bountifully with me. If God should speak to us some loving words and address us with a loving name, we shall not forget it, and we shall say that the Lord hath dealt bountifully with us when the Lord says, Beloved, beloved, thinketh not strange concerning the trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Now, sometimes we may think, oh, that's something coming. But if you look closely at the word, that is not really the intention. It is that the trial that is to try you is the present tense. And it is God's purpose that it is to try you. And what for? That you might be profited. So then, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, that which burns up, that which destroys everything that is unreal. The fiery trial that is to try you. Now, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. What is in our lives at the moment? Does it seem a strange thing? Then, let us remember this word, that is to try you. Now, but rather rejoice in that ye are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. How wonderful. How wonderful. Because here the Lord hath dealt abundantly and bountifully with thee in bringing you closer to feel the sweetness of the presence of Christ, the understanding of Christ, the consolations of Christ, and the benefits which Christ bestows upon his children. But then Peter goes on to tell us something yet further, before he says, there is the glory of God to be considered. The glory of God. Have we ever considered that in our trials? The glory of God. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. This is true profitability. When we observe the glory of God is revealed, the glory of God in his divine compassion, the glory of God in his forgiving love, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. To come through a trial, a fiery trial, and then to see at the end of it the glory of God revealed. If it is the glory of a king to pass by a matter, is it not the glory of the King of Kings to speak a forgiving sentence to his suppliant? I have forgiven thee. I will forgive. Thou art forgiven. Go and sin no more, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Bountifully. This is a great word. If the matter is small, shall we say the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad? Let us not despise the day of small things. We need to remember this point. If God has touched our heart for a few moments, if God has melted our spirit for but a short time, shall we not say the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me, because he has dealt with me more than the ungodly? He has dealt with me more than the unrepentant. He has dealt with me more than those that serve the God of this world, because he has delivered me from the God of this world and brought me with a spirit of repentance to worship himself. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Look upon that well-known character in the scriptures, who called upon the Lord, who came to him with a heavy burden of her daughter, and she said, Lord, help me. And the Lord's help was manifested in a mysterious way, perhaps more deeply than is realized looking at the matter just casually. The woman needed continual help. She needed help before she realized that she needed help, because the Lord was going to test her. He was going to say to her, it is not meet to give the children's bread unto dogs. No, she needed help then. Sometimes we've come to God and we've said, Lord, help me. And it's been on a particular matter. We haven't realized that God is fulfilling that request in the matters of which we are not aware. Now, this woman needed her faith to be strengthened when God tested her. And subsequently, the Lord himself would testify, O woman, great is thy faith. God has proved it. The Lord Jesus Christ had proved it. But how much she needed the help of God in this particular matter, even though her case was in respect to her daughter. Lord, help me. And we find that she came and worshipped him when she said, Lord, help me. Well, we know that kind of experience in order that we can join with the psalmist and say, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Not only has he granted me that I requested, but he has granted me that I didn't ask for. I didn't realize that I wanted help to sustain me when God would prove me. But he gave me help. He gave me support. He strengthened my faith, that even when it was said so testingly, it is not meet to give the children's bread unto dogs, she was not turned away. How would it have been were but for the help of God? How would you have felt? How should I have felt under the same circumstances? Left to ourselves, we should soon turn away. We should say, I'm not going to be spoken to like that. But the woman didn't. Because God had granted her more than that which she requested, she still pressed on even when she was tested. And she was willing not only to press on, but she was willing to humble herself under the mighty hand of God. How well we might remember that in connection with the Syrophoenician woman. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Well, may we consider in our own private meditation some of those things wherein God hath dealt bountifully with us. If we are taught of God, there will surely be something for us to remember. And as we remember it, oh, that we may come into the psalmist's desire to sing, I will sing unto the Lord, because He hath dealt bountifully with me.
Let us now close by singing the second part of hymn 237. Second part of hymn 237, tune Zundel 664. Great High Priest, we view thee stooping with our names upon thy breast, in the garden groaning, drooping to the ground with horrors pressed. Wondering angels stood confounded to behold their Maker thus, and can we remain unwounded when we know 'twas all for us? Hymn 237, second part.
the Father's love and the fellowship of the Eternal Spirit be with us all. Amen. Some would be able to bear a testimony to a line of experience like this. Why tarriest thou? Come with such power. They felt obliged to listen to it and to arise and to be baptized, washing away their sins. But in their going, suddenly their peace has been disturbed, and the enemies to their soul, their enemies to Christ, have risen up and have endeavored to snatch away their good desires. Therefore, there is some significance in these words, calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord will evidence our faith, not just in a name, but in a person. Because if a name is to mean anything to us, it immediately brings before us a person. Now, when we read then, calling upon the name of the Lord, we say, O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. There was a calling upon the name of the Lord by Hezekiah, but Hezekiah knew that name. And he knew the person that that name represented to him. And it caused him to say, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. And wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Two scriptures took hold of me this morning. This is the first of them. The second one, if the Lord will, I shall look at this evening. Amen. Sovereign grace, all sin abounding. Father's love, the fellowship of the Eternal Spirit, be with us all.